Well, thank you very much, Nick. That was a little bit Elvis-like, wasn't it? Thank you very much. Thanks for leading us and for the team and for Simon, as usual. Last week, we began a new series. If you're visiting with us, we kind of study the Word of God in series, chunks of 3 or 4 weeks, maybe 5, 6. And just reminds me, sometime we've got to get back to the Gospel of Luke, because about 5 years ago I started that and we got to about chapter 10. So one day we will do that. So we've started a brand new series, and the title of the series is Happiness Is, and you get to fill in the blanks. So just recapping from last week, what makes you happy? Oh, this is not good. Nothing. No thing. Nothing makes you happy. Although I think we probably need to revise that and say air conditioning makes you happy. And everyone said amen. And it makes you poor as well. Nothing except what makes you happy. What does happiness mean for you? It means what? Peace with God, peace with others, and peace with yourself. And happiness has nothing to do with anything, but happiness is more about a who than a what. Or as that great theologian Dr. Seuss said, happiness is about a who or two. Remember that? Wonderful theologian he is. So, here we go. We're going to continue this morning. But before we do that, a man and his wife were having some problems at home. Not happy, no peace there. And were giving each other the silent treatment. Suddenly the man realized that the next day he would need his wife to wake him up at 5 a.m. for an early morning business flight. So not wanting to be the first to break the silence and lose, he wrote on a piece of paper, please wake me at 5 a.m. He left it where he knew that she would find it. The next morning, the man woke up only to discover that it was 9 a.m. and he was furious. He had missed his flight. He was about to go and see why his wife hadn't woken him when he noticed a piece of paper by the bed. The paper said, it's 5 a.m., wake up. Ah, dear. Well, there was a lot of laughter there, and some of it was a little bit nervous. So, with your Bibles open at Matthew chapter 5, we're going to look at this passage. What is it that makes for happiness? What makes you happy? No thing. Happiness is more about a who than a what. Happiness is about having peace with God, peace with others, and importantly, peace with yourself. And many of us growing up in the church heard, whether directly or indirectly, whether subtly or not so subtly, that God is not interested in your happiness, He's interested in your holiness. How many of you kind of got that message? And the message came from someone wearing a three-piece suit with a stern expression who actually had no options for happiness. And in the Christian church, we heard this, maybe some of us did, that God's more interested in your holiness than He is in your happiness, as though the two are mutually exclusive, although there's some kind of dichotomy between the two. I would say to you that God designed you for happiness, and because He did, and because He's your creator and sustainer, we're going to read what He said about happiness this morning through the words of Jesus. Well, in fact, we already have, as Nick read it out to us. This section of Scripture is called the Beatitudes. Some people have called it the Be Happy Attitudes. And let me say a couple of things before we launch in. The first thing is this, that each one of these Beatitudes is prefixed with the word blessed or blessed. And in the Greek, it's the word makarios, which means happy, which in fact means experiencing the favor of God in your life and on your life. The second thing I want to say is that there is a lot to cover, and rather than go through the Beatitudes one at a time, week after week, I'm going to read them out to you again, comment on them, and then I'm going to tie it all together with what is the common denominator at the end. Now, those of you who want to think ahead, you might want to think about what that might be. What is the common denominator in these Beatitudes, apart from the richness that's contained in each one of them anyway, but what is the common denominator that is an expression of happiness? We're going to find out What makes for happiness? What do happy people do? What do happy people think? And I want to say to you that we can either embrace this or we can butt up against it for the rest of our life. So, number one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So right off the bat, right out of the chute, Jesus explodes the myth that rich people are happy or that poor people are happy. You've heard the expression, haven't you, that money can't buy happiness. You've heard that one? Money can't buy happiness. Do you know the flip side of that? However, it does make misery a whole lot easier to bear. The truth be told. So right out of the blocks, Jesus explodes the myth that rich people are happy or that poor people are happy. Jesus says the happy people are those who are poor in spirit. And to be poor in spirit means to put your hand up and say, every day I am totally dependent upon the goodness and the provision of God. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. Now, let me bed this down in my life. I would consider myself to be a rich person. That doesn't mean you can approach me later on and ask for a loan. But what it means is I have a wonderful family. I have a house. It's a rather small, austere house. It's what I like to call post-World War II austerity, if you like. It's a small house, but it's a wonderful house. I built it. It's got to be good. I built it. There I go, a little bit of patting on the back myself. I have two cars. I'm not sure whether they're a blessing or not, but I have two cars and I have a boat. And I would say to you that in world terms, I am a rich person. I think every one of us in this building would say the same. We are rich. But that doesn't mean that I am any less dependent on the goodness of God. And I wake up every morning saying, Lord, I am no less dependent on you this morning than what I was when I didn't have that, or when I had very little at all, or when I was born, the day that I was born. The poor in spirit are people who acknowledge and embrace their daily dependence on God. One of the age-old criticisms of Christianity is that it's a crutch for people who can't make it on their own. And my response to that is, since when is a crutch a bad thing? Who is it that ever needed a crutch, looked at a crutch and said, what a redundant piece of equipment that is? And I would say to you this morning that when Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, he said that as a threat not to people's happiness, but he said it as a threat to the religion of self-admiration. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The moment that you place your trust in riches rather than him who richly provides, you set yourself up for unhappiness because suddenly it all depends on you. The outcomes depend on you. Now, you can influence outcomes, but you cannot determine them because God is sovereign in your life. Number one, blessed are the poor in spirit. Amen? Two or three of you think that that's good. Number two, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who are emotionally engaged with tragedy and with death in this life, for they will be comforted. That's surprising, isn't it? We don't think that we would be happy. Jesus is saying, happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Happy are those who are emotionally engaged in the tragedy of this world, for they will be comforted. Happy are those who are emotionally engaged with the reality of death, for they will be comforted. And we don't like to hear that because we kind of sanitize death. We push it over here, and if we need to go to a funeral, we'll make sure that we're the last one that will sit in the back row, that will stay long enough afterwards for someone to see us, and then we'll lickety-split. And in all kinds of ways, we emotionally disconnect with the reality of tragedy and death in our world. But Jesus says, happy are those who do connect with it and who actually live in the presence of that moment, for they will be comforted. There's a reality that many people in our culture experience. It's actually a condition. It's called anhedonia. Anhedonia is the condition where people feel nothing at all. They don't feel joy or celebration. They don't feel pain or grief or tragedy. And the reason that many people have this condition called anhedonia is that they have deep fried their adrenal glands. In other words, they run from adrenaline and they run from they move from this experience to that experience, and they never ever stop and contemplate the moment that they are living in. Jesus said, happy are those who realize that their lives are bookended, but more than that, ultimately, that there is more to this life than this life. I'm just gleaning over the top of this. I'll come back one time and go into it a bit more depth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Whenever we hear the word meekness, there's an immediate negativity about the word meekness. We associate it with insipidness, being a weak person, being someone's doormat. We do not like the word meekness. No one says to themselves, you know, when I grow up, I want to be a meek person. Men, you're not looking for a meek husband for your daughter. You know, you're not thinking, you know, I hope my daughter finds a meek man. You're thinking, I hope my daughter finds a man who's got a job and who's not a complete dropkick. But you're not thinking, I hope my daughter finds a meek man. And the reason is we don't understand what meekness means. This is what meekness means. Meekness is to have a proper estimation and valuation of yourself within the context of God's creation. So meek people are happy because they understand who they are and they understand who they're not. That's what meekness means. I have a proper estimation of who God has created me to be and who I'm not. And as John the Baptist said, we can only receive what is given to us from heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Happy are those who are on a quest to do the right thing. Now you might think, well, why does that equate to happiness? Well, it equates to happiness because if you are on a quest to do the right thing, it will mean this, that when the sun sets on your day, when the sun sets on your week, and ultimately when the sun sets on your life, you will have less guilt, less regrets, and a clear conscience. And you will be a happy person. Why? Because you have been on a quest for righteousness to do the right thing. Nobody, but nobody thinks to themselves, if only I could go back in time and create more trouble for myself. And if we have regrets about our past, it's what we've done. Some of the most unhappy people I know are people who knew the difference between right and wrong and chose to do the wrong and are still reaping a harvest for themselves, for their children, for their grandchildren. No one thinks if I could go back in time, for instance, if I could go back to school, if I could go back to high school, I would make more trouble for myself and the teachers and the principal. I don't think that. I think if I went back to high school, I would probably actually turn up a little bit more. I'd actually go to school more instead of wagging. And I would do things differently. Only the fool says, if I had my time all over again, I would do everything the same. The wise person said, if I had my time over again, I would do it differently. Happy are those who realize ultimately that their sin separates them from God, from others, and from themselves. Because sin will always separate in the sense that sin substitutes. Sin substitutes the immediate for the ultimate. Sin substitutes intimacy for a quick fix. Sin substitutes and it separates. And happy are those who seek righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Jesus just keeps going here. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And perhaps the best definition of a merciful person is somebody who is relationally generous. Blessed is the person, happy is the person who is not vengeful, who is kind, who's considerate, who's not bitter. Have you ever met a happy, bitter person? Blessed are the relationally generous, for it will come back to them that you'll be shown mercy, and with the measure that you use, it will be used to you. Whether that's bitterness or whether it's mercy, it will come back to you. Isn't this amazing? Wouldn't you expect Jesus to say, blessed are those who have the latest gadgets, who have the biggest car, the best house, the deepest pool, the biggest bank account. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure you will, but I don't think Jesus meant that we would literally see God. That's a privilege that we have in the kingdom to come, and as far as I know, only one or two people in the scriptures saw God and survived, I might add. I think what Jesus meant here was this: blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will have clarity of thought and vision. Blessed are those who are pure in heart because they will see the purpose and the plan for them that God has. And isn't it true that impure thoughts and impure deeds obscure us from many things, but mostly the plan and the purpose of God for us? Blessed, happy are those who are pure in heart, for they will see the plan and the purpose of God. Two more to go. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Happy are those who are about the business of making peace. And again, isn't it true? Doesn't life tell us that the peacemakers are happy people? The unhappy people are the people who cannot abide anyone around them who has any sense of peace at all. And isn't it true that unhappy people always, but always, have to disrupt the peace in other people's lives to a point where everyone around them is completely ticked off? That's a theological term, ticked off. Isn't that true? Haven't you experienced that? I know Joyce Meyer would say that in the early days of her ministry, she was a person who was not peaceful. And she was always agitating those around her, particularly her husband. She was always trying to get her husband upset. She couldn't abide the fact that he was content, that he was grounded, that he was peaceful. So she had to upset him. She said to him one day, Joyce, I'm going to be a happy, peaceful person no matter what you do or say. Deal with it. And that was a turning point in her life when she realized that a lot of her discontent and her unsettledness and her lack of peace came from her own soul. Blessed are the peacemakers. Why? Because they're engaged in the business of their Father, who is about making peace, and who's done it ultimately through Jesus. Last one. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here's my thought on this. Simple thought. You can be persecuted for doing the wrong thing. You can be persecuted for doing the right thing. But only on one side of that equation will you be happy. If you're persecuted for doing the wrong thing, you will never be happy because you've done the wrong thing. You will have to live with God, you'll have to live with others and yourself over what you've done. However, if you are persecuted for doing the right thing, you can actually be a happy person. Now, some of you would say that's impossible, and I would say to you, if you think it's impossible, you need to read the magazine of the ministry, Barnabas, and you need to read the testimonies of people who are continually persecuted for doing the right thing, and yet, they are happy people. So, can you guess what the common denominator is in all of these be happy attitudes? if you were me, how would you wrap this up in terms of what happiness is? Let's recap. Happiness is not about a what, it's about a who or two. Nothing can make you happy except peace with God and others and yourself. And what I want you to remember this morning, this is what I want you to take away, that happiness is not an outcome. Happiness is not a result. Happiness is not a commodity that's here now and embedded in your life later. Happiness, some of you came this morning to church and you may have thought, well, I'm not really happy. But hey, listen, I've sung a great song, I've heard a mediocre message, I've heard some scripture reading, and I'm looking forward to the members' meeting, and suddenly I'm happy, right? It doesn't work that way. I would say to you this, that what Jesus is saying is that happiness is an outcome, happiness is a result. To put it another way, think farmer, not programmer. So you and I, we sow and we reap our way to happiness. We make decisions this morning that will lead to a harvest of happiness in 2 years' time, in 3 years' time, four, five. We sow and we reap our way to happiness. And your happiness is contingent. Your happiness in the future is contingent on decisions that you make today. Happiness is not a commodity that you can suddenly imbibe and be happy. It's a journey. It's a process. It's a result. And it's an outcome. So, what makes you happy? No thing. Except peace with God, others, and yourself. And this morning, and we're going to continue this, and I hope that makes you happy, you and I sow and reap our way to happiness, because happiness is an outcome, it's a result, and that is actually the summary of the Beatitudes. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that you have designed us to be happy people. That the happiness that you want for us is not some shallow, transient, caffeine happiness that comes and goes with every new thing that we try and every new toy that we buy, with every new experience that we tick off our bucket list. But happiness is actually embedded in who you've created us to be, children of God. That happiness is a journey. It's a process. It's a result of us making decisions that glorify you, that benefit us, and that will flow on to blessing for those around us. So we would say that we truly want to be happy people. And so I pray that these things that we've read and heard this morning would continue us on the path to godly happiness, that you indeed might be glorified in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.